Can you hear me now, Dale?
Yes, sir. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. How about you?
Doing good, buddy.
I was worried. My internet just said it was unstable. I was like, oh, crap.
Yeah, my computer was doing some crazy shit right there for a minute, too.
I've got horrible internet. You can't see it now, but you're going to see it in a minute. I got a cat that every time I do these, lays right in front of me.
Of course, man.
Cat ass
that's
right
what
in
cats
your face.
Do, man.
Well, thank you for coming on the show, brother. I'm glad to see you.
I appreciate you having me.
This, like I said, this is pretty easy. What we'll do is we'll talk. If you've heard any interviews, we just talk about music, of course, and life. Awesome. And we'll listen to some of your songs. I'll pull up your Spotify and I'll share it on the screen and we'll listen to it.
Cool.
And you tell me a couple stories behind it.
All right.
You ready to roll?
All right, let's do it.
All right. All right, everybody. This is Georgia Songbirds, and we're here with Dale Coe. Introduce yourself, Dale.
Hey, how are y'all? Dale Coe.
We're from North Carolina, right?
That's correct. Winston-Salem. We're right, pretty much smack dab in the middle of the state.
There's a lot of North Carolina. I'm going to call you guys North Carolinians. That are songwriters are great songwriters in that area.
It's really, really crazy the kind of talent we got around here right now. It's a kind of a blessing and a curse, you know.
Now, do you guys got a lot of places to play out?
Yeah, it's really has here lately. You know, a lot of venues have opened back up. They've really just pumped a lot of money into our downtown area here. It'd been dormant for years, and now we've got a whole entertainment district. And there's, you know, big venues and small venues, and so it's really a good happening place for us right now.
Now, are you part of a band? Is that what that community service is?
That's correct. That's a band. I started a project a couple of years back called the Inclusion Project. Mm-hmm. And the concept was for people to play music and make music with people that they usually didn't work with, you know, just kind of get to know each other and solidify our community here. Okay. And so I started recording, and I would bring in different friends for whatever the song called for. And I just jokingly called it community service, like they were doing they're doing their time working with me, you know. So we went in April and recorded three new songs, and this group just knocked it out, you know, just hit it. And we got along so well, we decided we was going to take it to the stage, and we just dropped the Dale Coe, just going by community service.
Okay. Yeah. I saw that last song that you sent to me was, I thought, one of the best ones I heard of yours so far. It was really good.
Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Now, do you, was it a woman that was singing that song? I can't remember.
She was singing with me. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, give shout out to everybody in your band.
Thank you. Who
are they playing?
I'm really, really proud of these guys. I got a new guitarist, Sonny Russo, and he's just took it to a whole different place where my music was going. And got a new bass player, Ken Moe, and he's worked with me on last couple recording sessions. And everybody else I've worked with in the past quite a bit, you know. So we were all used to one another. So, but it just gelled when we got these guys in there.
Okay. Now, see, when I do these Zooms, you're about to see my kids walk by.
That's
they always
kids.
Do.
That's all right, man.
Every
enjoy
time.
Being a dad. Don't blink.
Oh, no. I know, because I've got a 25-year-old, and the twins are about to be 13.
Wow.
So they're already looking at college
trips.
You're doing
the long roads, my friend.
Oh, I'll be 45 in June. So,
wow. Dad was 41 when I was born, 42 when I was born. My mom was 38. So my oldest brother was 21 years older than I am. So I understand totally.
Wow. I thought, when my wife wanted a kid, because I'd already had a kid, and I was like, I'll give you one. You got to trick me into two. And right. she got her twins. I was like, what?
She tricked you, all right.
I told her, I said, well, you got them, because, and a boy and a girl. So she got everything she wanted.
That's great.
I told the nurse when we were there, we were looking at the screen, and she goes, oh, look, you have two. I was like, wait a minute, I only ordered one. And she goes, well, sweetheart, you've got two, and you may have a third. And I'm like, what do you mean you may have a third?
Oh, Lord.
Apparently, and I've said this before podcast, but apparently you can still get pregnant while you're pregnant. It's very rare, but it can happen. And the lady says, yeah, she told me that. I'm like, well, that takes the fun out of everything.
I know, right?
But it didn't stick. So, but I said the two
I
have.
Hell of a story, though, you know?
Yeah. So how long have you been playing, Dale?
Oh, wow. I started actually playing in high school, about 15 or 16, singing in a garage band. And my guitarist, my best friend, played guitar, and he taught me how to play. I'm left-handed, so I didn't have a guitar, and I learned how to play on a right-handed guitar strung for a right-handed person, you know, kind of upside down. And then a year or so later, I got my first left-handed guitar, and it took me longer to reverse what I was doing than it did to actually learn the chords and everything the first time.
Yeah, I'm left-handed too, but I do everything right-handed. I just learned how to do it right-handed.
I just couldn't. It wasn't. I can't. I tried. It just would not work.
It's funny. When I eat, it's left-hand. When I shoot pool, it's left-hand. Throwing a football, I can actually do both as ambidextrous.
Right.
But yeah, guitar, I have to do it right-handed.
I golf right-handed. I bat right-handed. Everything else pretty much left-handed.
Okay. Now my dog is wanting again.
Go on, Bella.
She's an old lady.
Oh, sweetie. Hey
guys, let Bella out.
She's got 15 years old, so I think she's getting senile for a dog. She's got almost blind, almost deaf.
Yeah, bless her heart. They're your babies. I had a Pomeranian that was 17 that we lost a couple years ago, and it tore me up.
Yeah, she's my oldest son's dog. We got her... I own a pest control company, but years ago, 15 years ago, when I was working for Orkin, I was crawling under this house to do an inspection, and this puppy just followed me. And the lady had like four or five of them. I said, "Are you getting rid of any of these?" And she said, "You want her? Take her." I was like, "Okay." And so I took her. She's a black lab, full blooded. Been a good dog. That's she's sweet. Just old now.
My daughter's got a chocolate lab, and she's just the sweetest dog in the world.
You can hear her talking. What?
So, whereabouts are you outside of Atlanta?
Yep. I'm about an hour north of Atlanta. I'm about an hour south of Chattanooga.
Okay.
So, I'm like dead in the middle. If you're familiar with Georgia, I'm over like northwest.
Yeah.
I'm toward Cartersville.
Up in the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Pretty country.
Oh, yeah. I've been here for 30-something years.
Right. Wow. Very cool.
And the internet's been bad the whole time.
Yeah, I'm sure. My family were kind of mountain people as well. My grandfather played banjo, and my father played guitar. My uncles played mandolin and fiddle and guitars and stuff, and they went around like four or five different counties and played bluegrass music back in the 30s and 40s and sold white liquor out of the trunk of the car that my grandma made. So.
I had an aunt that used to make moonshine out of her tub. Hang on a second. But yeah, she used to make moonshine out of her tub. I remember her, my Aunt Ruby.
Great memories, huh?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the stuff that, you know, growing in the South, you get used to.
And that's what happened, you know? That's right. Family reunions were a great thing, though.
I remember going, we were going to a family reunion, and my granny was in the car with us, and she was something else. We went to Mrs. Winter's, and they had to bring the drink. So they're getting, at the time when there's like bunches of Mrs. Winter's, they were getting those big jugs of sweet tea.
Right.
And I remember my granny, and I'll never forget this, because we pulled up to the drive-thru, we ordered tea, we get in there, and she goes, "I want the good sweet tea. I don't want that shit you sell everybody else."
Oh, that's funny.
And that was my granny. And there's multiple
stories.
That's
awesome, buddy. That's awesome.
Of that happening. I could remember me and my dad had gotten into a fight, and I was at school, and I wasn't going home for a while. She came to the high school and tried to drag me home. I remember that. And I'm like, "Granny, go away." And the people are like, "You can't talk to your granny like that." So if you knew that woman, I said, "I promise you, you'd be doing the same thing. But if you want her, she's all yours."
Oh, that's amazing. What a great story.
I like stuff like that. That's why songwriters get so much material. Well,
you can draw from that, man, I tell you.
Oh, that's why I have to do Outlaw Country, because of the stories I tell.
I'm right there with you. That's why I wrote We Ain't Family.
Don't talk about that one, because that's one that was just played on New Music Monday, and right. And it's also in Countdown, the weekly Countdown.
I'm kind of a black sheep, you know, my family, and I speak my mind, and I've done some things back in the day that some of my family wasn't too pleased with, you know. Mm-hmm. So I got a big chunk of them that don't really talk to me much, and the song just came to me, you know. We ain't family if we're still talking, because pretty much the story of my life.
Yep, I read that title, and it got the hook. And I was like, I just started thinking of my family fights and stuff, and it's like that. I gotta like that song. You gotta like the hook regardless for it. So what I'm going to do is we'll actually listen to that song right now, since we were talking about it. And
cool.
You want to tell any more of the stories? Any more of a story for it?
Well, actually, you know, my oldest brother passed away a couple years ago. And there was some things said at the... Uh-oh.
I'm here.
You're gone, my friend.
Can you see me?
There was some things said at the funeral that I just kind of didn't think should have been said at the funeral, should have took place there, you know? And I said something to my brother's daughters. He had twin daughters, and they just went all off on me, you know, and said, just leave them alone. So I said, okay. So I went home and wrote that song.
Okay. And I'm looking it up on, it's on Spotify.
So you get inspiration where you can find it, right?
Absolutely. I have a song. I haven't released it yet. And I was telling, I don't know if you know Ricky Combs. We were talking about music, and he has like a bunch of songs he released, and I was like, you know what, I think I'm going to release a greatest hits, and I'm gonna call it the greatest hits you'd never heard, and do like a bunch of my songs that I've got together. And one of them was a song, it's called Where Are All the Men, and I got that song from walking into Kroger, and there's this kid in front. I call him kid because, you know, I'm at that age now, everybody's a kid to me. I'm sure I'm a kid to you, so it's like, you know, it's kid. And I'm like, he's walking in with his sandals and his shorts, and he's vaping. And I'm like, oh my God, where are all the men? So I like those kind of stories. But what I'm gonna do here, Dale, is I've shared the screen. You should be able to see it.
Sure.
And I'm gonna go ahead and play this song, so you should be able to hear it. I'm gonna mute us in case something walks in, and we'll listen to the song.
we're still talking.
I was a huge Carl Perkins fan. I don't know if you can notice that. Mm-hmm.
I sat there listening to it, and I was like, because I heard it before for the countdown, and it's got that the shuffle with it, and that old kind of like train shuffle, and then sure. I was thinking like My Sharota. It's almost like the My Sharota melody, and I was like, that's such a good song, and it's funny because it's almost 5 minutes long, but it doesn't feel like that. And I think when a song is that long and it doesn't feel long, it to me, it's actually a good song.
Well, thank you. I've really made a conscious effort here lately of trying to keep them under 3:30. Mm-hmm. You know, it's working a lot better for me. But I got another one I got to send you that I've written. That's probably one of the greatest country music songs that's ever been written. It's and I can't understand what it took me to write it, you know. But it's called Sitting Here Drinking and Talking to My Dog.
Does it have trains?
It's more about losing your wife and your truck and your job, and then the last verse is you're sitting there and you're just talking to your dog. You know, it's pretty cool, good concept.
I want to hear it. I like those kind of songs because you always think that that is the country, perfect country and western song. Nothing about trains,
right? And I know, right? Prison.
Yep. I was like, all right, that's perfect stuff. I like the Jerry Springer line. When you say Jerry Springer, it's such a visual line because everybody knows what happens on Jerry Springer.
Oh yeah, man. And that was my family. You know, I had a brother I didn't talk to he didn't come around to see us for like 17 years. Mm-hmm. And so it just really, my brother next to me, we fought like cats and dogs. We all the time, you know, but I loved him. We just couldn't be around each other.
Right. How many brothers and sisters do you say you have?
I'm the youngest of six, and there's just lost three brothers last year. So it's just my sister and I now.
Okay. Yeah, I have an older sister. I don't have like a big family. My granny and them came from a big family, though. They had tons of families. Now, you were kind of like what you do in the community stuff. I like what you were talking about before. You kind of just kept brought people together. Now it's a community service. What are you guys are kind of influenced? Do you have like certain influences now that with a band? I know it's got to be a little bit different.
Yeah. We're my guitarist, Sonny, he's like a really big Brian Setzer kind of guy. Mm-hmm. And so we're trying to go in that kind of that way with some rockabilly, you know, thrillbilly kind of stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. And got some really good stuff in the making. My bass player Ken is just an amazing songwriter, and I have to send you some of his songs. I mean, he's like Paul McCartney and John Lennon kind of stuff. He plays all the instruments and records and everything himself. And he's another lefty. So we switch off on stage when he's playing his songs. He plays guitar and I play bass, and then he switches around. So we're pretty versatile, you know?
Yeah, I like that. So yeah, send anybody you want my way. I always tell every guest to come on, pay it forward. So if there's somebody that you want me to hear or that I should listen to, okay, send them my way.
Awesome. Yeah, I've seen a couple of Ken's songs. He's really, really a very talented guy. I'm really fortunate to have working with him right now.
Yeah, because, I mean, we do everything. I mean, I'm trying to get the radio show going, and right, that's taking time, as always. I mean, it's pretty new compared to what I've been doing on the podcast. Right. So awesome. The podcast is like 3 years old. But I still
good,
do.
Though.
Yeah. I mean, it's from what I thought it was going to be. I didn't think anybody wanted to talk to me. I was like, I'll do it for shits and giggles. And, you know, and then all of a sudden it took off and I'm like, okay, I got people coming in. They want to Zoom talk to me. And it's like, perfect.
I'm tell you, I have met some really good people through you, and we're still in contact, you know, with each other quite a bit. Sharon, White, mm-hmm. You know, we're buddies. She just sent me a song that she wrote. She's going to be releasing soon. And, I just think it's the best thing she's ever done. And I've already told her I want my band to cover it, because it's right up our alley what we're doing, you know. And just some really, you bring in some really top-notch performers on what you're doing. These songwriters are just amazing.
Yeah. And that's what I wanted it to do. I wanted it to be a network of songwriters and performers and just, you know, just get together. And I think songwriters in general have a hard time doing that. And if you go to like an open mic, and you've seen, if you go to open mic, the people that come, they play, they leave. You're never going to meet anybody that way. You're never going to get past a certain point.
And that was my concept of what I'm doing here. And we got quite a bit of like songwriters in the round thing going up in here, where they'll bring in five or six people on a weekly basis, different people, and they'll do songs. And that's a really fun thing to do, you know. I was going to say, what you call her, Laura Jane Vinson, who's on the countdown mm-hmm. this week. We play same clubs and everything up here. She's from right around here as well. So we're really blessed with some really, really good songwriters in this area.
Yeah, her and Colin Cutler came up to the gazebo, and we had an interview. I interviewed them both at the same time.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then they had Emily Stewart came up, and
oh, I love her, man. I've done some stuff with Emily, and she's just a sweet, sweet girl, and very, very talented. She's got this slide guitar, like dobro lap steel kind of guy that plays with her, and I'm just dying to get him on one of my records. And I think I'm going to write a song and have Laura Jane and Emily and him. We'll all just go in the studio and do it together.
See, and I met them through, I don't know if you know, if you noticed the series, I do a Georgia Versus series.
Yeah.
And last year was North Carolina. That's how I met all of them. And Colin helped me he's the one who helped me start getting sponsors up there. And I ended up getting interviewed all because of Colin. And then that's how I met them and William. I knew Dustin from before. He'd sent to me. He reached out to me one time. And then his niece, Riley. William, I didn't know.
Has Tyler Nail done anything for you?
Who?
Has Tyler Nail sent you any songs?
Mm-mm.
I'll get on him. He's probably the best songwriter in North Carolina right now, as far as that kind of stuff goes.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've done a song in his studio, and I got a song we're going to be recording together. It's about the day my mama died. He's just a special kind of songwriter, vocalist, multi-instrumentalist. I mean, just amazing guy. I'll get him to send you some music.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I do this for, is I want to hear that. I want to get him here and talk to him. And like I said, I'm a songwriter too, so I like collaborating with people. And like I said, that's the main point, was just to get everybody together so we could write and play and, you know, just kind of just meet everybody.
You know, that's so great. I've really come to understand what this community is with the indie people. You know, I've been out of music for a long time, until about 6 years ago. And my songwriting didn't really start back until about 2 years ago. I just started writing again. And I was really, you know, I didn't know where to go, who to see, who to talk to, and all this stuff. And luckily there's so many of my friends are already involved with this kind of stuff. They kind of told me, go talk to this guy, talk to this guy. And it's really helped me a whole lot, you know?
And you mentioned about the North Carolina guys. What I'm going to do, I'm going to tell you, I've not announced or anything yet, but I'm trying to get it set up, is I want to do for the radio show, I want to do a week or a day or something for all the states, songwriters from every state.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
And I want to do like an hour or two, whatever I have. It just depends on how many I get, right? Because I know a lot of Georgia artists, obviously. I'm in Georgia. I go out and play. I meet a lot. So there's tons of them here. But and I know some North Carolinas, and I got a couple South Carolina. But I want to get at least 16 songwriters from every state to – and nice. I'll do like a weekly rotation or maybe not a – well, yeah, weekly would be a year. It'd be a year worth of music and from each different state. So I'd highlight them on the show each week.
That's a great idea, man. I love the thought of that, you know.
And I know Kentucky.
I listen to you guys. Oh, yeah. Kentucky's full. I mean, they got some badass riders up in there.
Yeah.
We're doing a show June the 9th here with a band from Nashville called the Minx. I don't know if you've ever heard of them. Mm-hmm. And they're touring all opening up for them. And it's a really good break for us. But they're really pretty amazing. So, I mean, there's just so much music, so much real music is being made and produced and not being heard. And God bless you for doing this, man.
I apologize my wife crazy how much I sit at the computer and play with music. Because <laughs> <laughs> she told me when I started the radio station.
At least you're home.
That's true.
You can be doing worse things.
That's true. When I met her, I was working at a strip club. I was the doorman for one of the strip clubs here in Atlanta.
I got you.
And she goes, I took her out to eat one night and I told her where I worked, but she didn't really think about it until we went out to eat. And then I had all these ones in my pocket and I was paying for it in ones because that's how they paid us. The dancers and the bartenders paid us with their tip money. And so I was like, okay. She goes, what are you at, a strip club? I was like, I told you that's where I work. She said, what? So I didn't work there very much longer.
I had priorities.
Right. Well, our kids wasn't born yet, so it didn't really matter.
Right.
I also had to sell my motorcycle.
Wise choice. Wise choice.
Well, it's my second marriage, so I learned after the first one to kind of give in a little bit.
Well, you know, I tell people, I've got a song in here somewhere. It's after your first marriage, you might not know what you want, but you damn sure don't know what you don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. I wrote a song called Bad For Me, and it's not out yet, but it'll be on the EP for the band. I'm going to give you a little heads up because you listen to the show and you get the merch, and I'm going to give you heads up on stuff right. Like that too. If I had a, what do they call that stuff? PayPal, the whatever they call it, where you like pre-order stuff, but right. I wrote it. It's about a stripper. My wife says, I knew it was about a stripper the minute you started singing because the first line is glitter in the air. I was like, I know what you're talking about.
That's awesome. I've got a series of songs I wrote. We're talking about doing like a rock, kind of a country rock opera type of thing. And it's about a televangelist that works out. His girlfriend is named Angel, and he meets her in a strip club. And he's, you know, the first song is waiting for my angel to come. He's waiting out in the parking lot for her to get off work and stuff. And then he get home and they see this televangelist on the TV, and like a light bulb goes off, you know. And he cashes in his 401k and buys a bus and takes off down, you know, all these cities and everything. I've got 3 or 4 songs written for it already.
I like that. Yeah, send me that stuff. And like I said, send anybody you have. And I'm going to send you the song. I'm going to let you hear it. It's like the rough garage take. When I say rough, where sure. it's the first take we did of it because we're playing around. And it's like, that's really good. We like this. Yeah. Now we need to make something out of it.
Isn't that great when that happens?
I love that in a band. And I think that if you don't play in a band, you don't ever really get to feel that.
I agree. I'm fortunate right now that the people I work with are all very creative. And I write the brunt of the material. And I will do a demo on my phone to me and my guitar, you know, and I'll do write out the chord charts and everything and send it to them. And like the 3 that we just recorded with Share With Me Your Heart and those, we it's the first time that we've ever practiced before we went into the studio. I rented a space and we went in and recorded, practiced three songs, recorded them in 8 hours. But usually we just show up with the, I show up with the charts right there and we just go through it two or three times and record it, you know?
Yep. I don't know. It's funny because I think you gotta actually practice. I mean, I completely agree you need to, but it seems like we hit it the best when we don't even know what the hell we're doing.
You're right. Yeah. You know, yeah, I'm totally there. It's a lot of energy and spontaneity. It's, you know, you don't ever get back when you're in the studio trying to do it.
Right. Cause now you're, yeah, now you're thinking about it instead of just listening and playing how you feel.
So what we do is we go in and we record every take, no matter what, you know, what's going on. And sometimes we use some of the, one of the first couple that we're just actually running through on practice with, you know, because that was just the best of the bunch.
I don't blame you. Well, let's listen to another one of your songs, Dale. What you want to listen to next? Sure.
My new one, if you got it, Never Thought I Could Fall in Love Again. It's doing really well. It's in really big over in Australia and New Zealand right now. I've had 1,300 requests for it in the last week and a half in New Zealand.
Oh, wow. And did speak about that too. Tell the story on that. Where'd you go? There he is. How you get your music heard to those? Are you doing like sending online radio stations too? Like the whole list? I know Sharon sent me a list of people to try to get the count.
Yeah, I have quite a few connections. I know a bunch of people in Nashville and stuff like that too. And but a friend of mine that was played the lap steel on the last song we played, the slide guitar, mm-hmm. Terry, he was already in rotation over there in New Zealand and stuff. And we sent them a couple of those songs and they just love us over there. And I just had an interview with them Monday with like 7 million people and listeners. So that was kind of a cool thing. And they're talking about when New Zealand opens back up, about bringing us in over there and doing some songs, doing some shows.
That'd be so cool. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Well, what's the story behind it? Because I'm a songwriter. I'm going to hear the story and we'll play it. What's the story behind this song?
I Never Thought I Could Fall in Love Again.
Mm-hmm.
I was married 21 years, was with my wife for 23. We split up last August. And I got a bunch of crying your beer, sad songs out of that. You know, you write what you live, I guess.
Right.
And I'd met someone and I didn't ever think it, you know, I would have those kind of feelings again. And I met this lady and we'd been dating for a while, a few weeks, and that song just came to me. And we're not together, but it made me think that it's possible that I could. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right. Okay. Well, I'm going to mute us and we're going to take a listen to it. And again, right, give me a thumbs up when you hear it so I know that you can hear it.
All right.
like that.
Thank you. Kind of a pop song.
Yeah, is that you singing?
Yeah.
You got a very wide range that I the first stuff you sent to me, and to hear that is completely different.
Right. Well, that song is kind of by accident. I'd written C and was singing it, and then when I forgot what key that I'd written it in, and we started playing it in G, and I just was kind of forced to sing it that because the band had already learned it at that time. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah, the kid. What key is it in, Jesse? I have no idea. Just here, I can't put it.
I know.
that's so fun. Now, can you read music too?
A little. I played trombone and stuff in high school for like 8 years and stuff. So, okay. I got one song that I'm writing out. I wrote the horn charts out for. So we'll see how that comes. You know.
See, I could never. I took like lessons. I can read like a little bit, probably not as much as you. I can't, cause I never took band in school except for like middle school when they made me.
And right.
I don't think they even taught us really an instrument. It was more of kind of theory, a little bit of music theory.
Right. Well, if it hadn't been for band, I probably wouldn't have graduated. That was what kept me there. Mm-hmm. And I also had a couple of years of music theory in high school as well. It really helped a whole lot, you know. Pass the class, we had to compose a song, four parts, you know, for a song. Mm-hmm. And you know, it was awful. You know, I just know it was awful. And so when I finished these last chord charts, I sent them to my music theory teacher from high school and told him I've improved a little bit since the last time he read my music.
See, We it's funny because when we're out there playing, like when my band would jam, James, who's my lead guitarist, is really good. He actually works for a school of rock. So okay. he's doing like kids all day long. He's just playing music and, you know, helping with getting their songs in. And I let him transpose everything we do. So we sit down and he's now, because he is doing that, we'll take the songs from the garage and we'll play it, and I let him tinker with it inside sure. of his Pro Tools, and like, he brings right. it out. It's like, oh, that sounds so much better than when we were doing it live. Now he's got to figure out how to do it right. that way.
do you read tab?
Yeah, I can read tab. I okay. When I first learned to play, it was more of, because I hate covers. I hated doing covers. I'm still not a big fan of them, just because I've always wrote my own songs.
I get you. I did cover a band. I quit 2 years ago. I just couldn't do it anymore.
I know I'm never going to be do the covers justice. There's no right. sense in trying. You know,
we always did them. We always did a lot more of the more obscure stuff. We always mm-hmm. put our twist on it, you know, to kind of freshen it up. But still, after so many years of doing those songs, I just couldn't, you know, it's time to quit. Time to do my music.
Right. And I know people want them. I mean, especially like if you're a songwriter or a musician and you're playing out all these bars, and I should say restaurants, because it's not really bars. It's more restaurants and stuff like that. They want covers so that they can sing along.
If you want to get paid, you're paying cover music, you know.
Well, if they pay me, then I'm gonna play what I want. You better yeah. pay me after. You pay me before, you're getting a lot of originals, I promise you that.
That's right.
I did that all, and see, I think people like the originals better. I mean, they don't know them, but you know, if you're interacting with the crowd, then they'll get to know it.
We kind of went about this new band a little like that. We're creating the hype before we actually had the band. Mm-hmm. We went in and recorded these three songs and releasing them a little one at a time, you know, and our June 9th is our first show. So we got already getting the buzz out there and the people are liking the songs, you know, so we're kind of building the brand without having it.
I think it's, and I don't think there's any real one formula to do it. I think it worked, whatever works for you, works for you. You just got to get out there and do it.
Yeah.
I think with, like I said, again, with bands, it's harder as a band, it's harder probably to get gigs as a band because people just can't pay much anymore.
Especially with six people, you know, we're, but we're not wanting to play every other night or that kind of thing. I'm right now be happy, you know, once, twice a month at the most, and just mm-hmm. kind of spread it around. We got a big area. I mean, we've got three big cities right around here. We're called the Triad. And so there's between the three cities, we have plenty of places to play where it won't interfere with the crowd draw, you know?
Yeah. And I told the band, I think we should do more festivals. I think that's kind of where we should hit it, because now you got a 45-minute set. You can do originals, and you can, and it's worth the drive and the exposure that you get to do it that way.
We'd be happy just doing opening acts for the touring bands that come through here, you know, go and play our 45 minutes hour and tail off stage by 9 o'clock or 9:30. And, you know, so.
This conversation came up before about it's funny because he was telling me the same thing. He wants to open for people. He said, but you got to be careful because you got to kind of stay in your same lane. He says, you don't want to be a rock band and open up for hip hop.
Right. You know, that's one thing. And you don't want to be too good either, you know, on some of these acts that come through, you know. And, but I think the sound man takes care of that for you.
Wait, it's too good. Turn the mic down.
Yeah, that's it, man. He's got a suck button over there.
It was funny. I heard there was a story about a lady. She was opening up for, I think it was a rock band. This goes to the point of it. It was like, she was opening up for Linkin Park, somebody like that, like a big heavy metal rock band, right?
Right.
Big rock and roll, good music. But she was a singer-songwriter. And she got booed off the stage. That lady was Lady Gaga.
Oh, Lord.
Right?
But you just never know.
Nope.
That gave her some determination, I guess. You can go both ways.
Yeah. But it goes to the point. I mean, she's good. Listen, how good she's a great in her lane. It's just
right
again if you don't stay in your lane.
And it just kind of makes you have more respect for that because they're human too. They've been through the same shit we have, you know.
Right.
I went to see Emmylou Harris a couple years ago. She went to college where I work. She graduated from UNCG in a music major there. And she would work in the coffee shops and sing and stuff. And so she came back for her 50th reunion and played the auditorium there on campus. And you know, leaving an 20-year-old woman and going out in the world and then, you know, having the success she has and be able to come back to your college and perform there has to be a great, great feeling, I would think. But she I love her so much for doing this. She was there, she was playing, and she'd dropped her capo. She was putting her capo on. She was talking, she dropped her capo. She said she just kept talking, and her guitar tech came out, ran out there, you know, like a ball boy on tennis, hands her capo back. She's just still talking. She puts it on, and they start playing, and she was like two frets off with her capo. And she says, hold it. And she gets up, puts the capo where it's supposed to go. They start the song. And I just loved her for that. You know, somebody like a Grammy winning person like that still makes human mistakes, you know?
Oh yeah. It's because, I mean, and that's what people, I think songwriters in general, too, you got to understand as it's all subjective anyway. So even if somebody doesn't like you, doesn't mean somebody else won't.
That's right.
I mean, it's their own. Right. Yeah. So tell everybody, Dale, how many music instruments can you play? You mentioned bass and how many instruments?
You were kind of breaking up.
How many instruments can you play?
I just play guitar and bass.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm really more of a bass player than a guitarist. I played bass in kind of a metal band for 7 years back in the mid late 80s. And when I had hair and I was skinny, I could do this. My hair would do that with me. But I ride on my guitar, and Ken's a much better bass player than I am. And I've got Sonny on lead. So I just stand up here and sing most of the time and hold my guitar. I'll strum it every once in a while.
I found with a band, that's why it's the best instrument to have is acoustic, because you don't hear it and you don't worry if you mess up. It's just good to hold, keep your hands busy.
Pretty much, you know, it's my security blanket.
Now, see, it's funny. You say you played bass in a metal band. See, right. If we hadn't been talking, I would have never known that. Do you know Kenny Owens? I think he's in the countdown still. He has that song for his mom, Behind Every Hero.
Oh, yeah. Woo.
He was a drummer for a rap band in the 90s.
Wow.
There's a video. of him doing that. And I said, if Kenny, if you hear this when this comes out, you've got to send me that video because I can't find it.
Well, you know, people mature, people go through things, and life throws shit at you, and some of it sticks, and you know, you learn, hopefully.
Yeah.
How you get where you are.
Right. You bang your head enough times, you learn it hurts. You don't bang it.
Well, you know, that's right, you know.
See, now tell people, because we've been talking for about music, and we've both been involved a while. Tell people, kind of give them some advice on how to get started, how to get maybe get played out or something.
That's what I, you know, always play with people better than you are. Mm-hmm. You're going to learn so much more. Us old guys have been around, and you can learn some things if you just keep your mouth shut and listen. And, but there's no hard born way, you know, there's different ways of everything, but my is find somebody that has been around and friend them, you know, go and listen to them, go hear their stories, find out how they did this, how they did that. Go to all the open mics and open jams you can go to and just watch people. And it helped me by just hearing the different voicings, the different ways people go about it. I watch a lot of documentaries as well on music and people, mm-hmm. songwriters. And I was just fascinated with the Beatles, when it came out last year, you know, and how they went about their songwriting. I would have never realized that they'll come in with part of a melody and just in an hour they'll have this Let It Be or whatever, you know. And, mm-hmm. So it's just write everything down. For me, I'll go through, I walk a lot on campus. I do a daily walk, like 2 miles, and I'll overhear bits and pieces of conversations. And I say, something will hit me, and I say, wow, that's pretty profound. And I get my phone out and I write that statement down. I said, I can either write a song or use that line. Mm-hmm. And perfect example, I was walking by these guys, and one guy said, have you ever seen a dog killed in a hailstorm? And I got to think, well, no, I don't believe I've ever, because I've never even thought about a dog getting killed in a hailstorm. So I wrote it down, and I knew I couldn't write a whole song about a dog getting killed in a hailstorm, because that's, mm-hmm. just really a downer. But right. I was able to use it in a line in a song in one of the blues songs that I wrote, you know, and it just fit. So just be aware of everything that's going on around you, and have the thing to write it down, because you'll lose so many good ideas or whatever if you don't.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that. I listen to my kids. They give me stories all the time. Some of my favorite songs that I wrote were, like, one, it's called The Balloon. And I didn't realize that Mark Wills did one kind of like the same thing, but it's
right.
I got the idea was, my twins, like I said, they were probably 3-4 years old maybe. And, they had the little balloons, and Cheyenne, the girl, lost her balloon. And so my son patted on her shoulder, cause she was upset, and cried, don't worry, sissy, it's going to heaven. And so I was like, oh my God, it's okay. So I wrote a song with the balloons, like on a slow ride to heaven. And I was, and the story just turned into a, I still got to get somebody to sing it, because it's too good of a song for my voice, so I won't even mess with it.
Right.
But it's the whole story of it is, there's a kid that's dying in a hospital, right? And he's being strong for the father. And hang on, I'll see if I can find my book right here. I tell you,
man, that's heavy.
I got my whole book out.
Oh yeah, I can't do that. I can't read my writing.
it's not in here because I took it out, but I got it on the computer hanging. I'll see if I can pull it up.
You have a certain guitar you write on?
Well, I used to write on, it depends on what's my newest one, because I cut a lot of guitars, but the one that I used to write on my Ibanez,
right.
And I got a Taylor. So I started writing on it. And then now I've got a Kempo that I write, and that's kind of where I've been writing lately.
I have, it's not an Ibanez, but it's made on the Ibanez factory line. Hold mm-hmm. on just a second. Pretty much everything in the last 2 years I wrote on this guitar.
Oh, I like that. Is that a hollow body electric?
Yeah.
Oh, that looks like the one.
And I've got a ESP thin line acoustic electric is coming. It's being shipped next month. And I've got a Billy Bow Gretsch that it's a great guitar, and it's black with the white binding and everything. So the acoustic, the ESP that I've got coming is black with the white binding with like this really cool cutout in it and stuff. So it's
okay.
I just get that. That guitar just inspires me. I mean, every time I pick it up, I'll write something.
I've got, I tend to lean toward Ibanez. I don't know if it's just because I like the way, that's what first gets me is the way they look. It's like, okay, now let me plug it in and listen to it. And right. I do a lot of acoustic, but I do have a couple electric. My bass is an Ibanez. I've got an Iceman electric. It's black.
Oh, cool.
It's with the red strings. Yeah, that's
very cool. Back when I was playing bass, I had an Ibanez X series, which was like an Explorer with active pickups, and it just had two volume knobs, and you just blend the tone with your volume, you know, the pickups how you want them and stuff. It was really a pretty great guitar.
I'm going to share the screen. I don't know if you can you see the screen too?
Getting ready. Yep. The balloon. Here we go.
Yeah, that's the song. I just put it up there so you can see.
Oh my goodness, man. I mean, tears.
It's me too. Right. I was like, that's why I can't sing. I was like, this song is too, it needs a different voice for the mind. Cause I'm a growly voice. I'm kind of, my singing is, I don't know. You heard some of my songs and one of my songs is in Countdown now.
Kind of like me.
Yeah. But I was like, it's a pretty song. And I don't have a pretty voice. And I was like, okay, somebody as a songwriter, and that it goes to being a songwriter and learning where you fit. Well, it needs to go somewhere.
But you know, I think that takes somebody that's, it's, for me, it's about the song and not about me singing it. If I can write a song for somebody else, I that's just as great as worth for me to record one, you know, knowing it's a song is like that. And yeah. I totally understand where you're coming from. I did a song a couple of years, well, last year actually, and we recorded, it's just a great, great song, but it's not right for my voice. And we were so far into it, I couldn't get somebody else to sing it at that time, you know, because it's, you know, I wish I had had, could have brought somebody else in to do it. You know, it would have done the song a lot more justice.
Well, that's what you mentioned something earlier about like when you first started, that's what you're doing musicians. I'm actually doing it here for Georgia. Some Georgia artist it's a collaboration album of songs that I write or co-write, and I get local Georgia artists singing.
Awesome.
And it's like pulling teeth sometimes to get, cause I don't know what it is. They just,
I know. I'm really fortunate and blessed that I have a lot of really talented people that don't mind helping. I'll call them up and say, I've got a song, you want to record it with me? And they're all in, you know. Song, we recorded a song back in January. I Have Tried, and it's kind of like a new type version of a doo-wop song. Mm-hmm. And we got 40 some tracks on the song, and 20 some of them are vocal tracks. And so it was so much fun. It was just so much fun. And I understand where you're coming from, but we have a lot of people up here. I've just been so humbled by how cooperative and how willing they are just to come in and help me do these things, you know?
Yeah. And I think that all goes to, like I said, here, there's a bunch that'll do it, but you know, you just got it. There's a bunch also that they get nervous. They don't want to change. And, you know, they're still young in the songwriting aspect of their career, so they're afraid, or they don't, you know, that's one thing that I try to change in this area. If you go to Nashville, it's co-writing, you're mandatory, you just have to do it. So people here in Georgia, they don't do that as much, and I wanted to change kind of the culture here. So like, okay, look, sit down with somebody and write a song, and if it maybe it doesn't work, maybe it does. You never know. You may get magic out of it. You may get mud. It doesn't matter. It's a process, and it helps you in the long run. And it's the same thing like with when I would teach like songwriting stuff, is I would like, okay, let's write a song, bring in a song, but I want somebody else to sing it. Listen to how they interpret your song and see what you can do with it.
Right.
It just goes with time and being comfortable in your own skin.
That's right. You know, we do a lot of that here. We try to encourage. We'll have, I've got a couple friends. One will send me and says, all right, you've got 30 minutes to write a song about a wall. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, you got, here's a concept. And you'll have like five or six people writing on the same concept. We compare our songs to it or whatever. Right. Friend just wrote me yesterday. He wrote the words and he tagged a bunch of us online. And he says, I wrote these words and put music to it, put a melody to it. And so I sat down and sent it to him. It really turned out really good. I'm anxious to hear what everybody else is doing, but it's, we're around here. Everybody's very, willing. And so that's really has made us area of what it is, I think, for songwriting, you know, because people aren't afraid to share ideas and sit down and write and things. I got another friend who we'll just write. I'll throw about a line and he'll send me a line back and I'll send him the next line. And we'll just write that before you know it. We got a song wrote, you know?
Yeah, that's good. I like that. I like hearing stuff like that because it's good. It's good practice anyway, because it's a muscle memory. You just got to continue to work it out.
And, you know, his brain thinks a lot different than how some of these lines I would have never thought to say mm-hmm. that right there, but it's so good, you know?
And I think that goes with that. And that's another reason I always encourage to co-write with people is you need to.
Sure.
Because, I mean, I'm 45 years old, about to be, and I've seen some things, but, you know, my lifestyle is not going to be the same as a 20-year-old or as a different, it's just different point of view. And like you sure. said, it's you get to hear a different view and you go, oh, I didn't think of it. Okay. Because you're just like, right. like the wall. What kind
you've lived it, you know, where they've not yet, you know, so that's.
I like that.
I try to write most of my stuff about life experiences, things I've gone through. And I try to write real simple songs that's got a good hook. And most of the time, as people have gone through this situation, they can relate to.
Right. Well, let's listen to one more of your songs, Dale. And then I got a part of the interview that's, we like I said, it's not just musical. We go random stuff sure. all the time. I love doing that. It's a conversation. But let's listen to one more of your songs and we'll play like a little 20 question game.
Sure. Which one you want to hear?
Your choice.
Let's do I Have Tried.
Okay. Let's put that back on Spotify so I can, there it is. I'm going to mute us and play this.
Tried. I can't let
like, I've always liked doo-wop songs.
Oh, yeah. I think I was born in the wrong era, you know, and I've always liked the vocal bands from the 50s and 60s, and it was kind of my homage to that, you know.
Roy Orbison is probably one of my favorite singers.
He is by far. Him and Raoul Mallow, and I don't, you know, who Raoul Mallow from the Mavericks is. He's just my favorite vocalist. I'm going to see him. I've seen him like 7 times. I got tickets to see him in June up at Smith Mountain Lake, Virginia. I just can't wait. But yeah, those guys, the vocals to me is always what's made a band.
And what I always found interesting, and I kind of look at trends and stuff, back in the 50s and stuff, when they did those songs, there wasn't maybe 2.5 minutes long. They were not long songs at all, but they told a story in that short time frame. So great.
Yep. I'm getting there. I started off, my first song that I wrote was like 7 minutes long, and it goes nowhere. I mean, it was, and then I got them down to 5. Now I'm right around 3 to 3.5, and I'm kind of happy with that.
See, I think with rock songs, like, I always love solos. I love solos. Like, so you had the sax in there. I put sax in almost any song. I put it with electric guitar because I love the battle. I'll send you Bad For Me. You'll hear what I'm talking about, because I've got a battle of electric and a saxophone back and forth. And this is just in the gym or in the garage. But I like that type of songs. Rock songs can be longer because you're doing solos and bridges.
Sure.
And, yeah. But yeah, for most stop stuff, that, you know, it's like 2-3 minute songs if you want them played.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you're doing it for you, if you're doing it for an album cut or something like that, that's one thing. You're not gonna get no radio play with it.
Yeah, except for the Georgia Songbird Radio.
So that's true. That's true.
So we've talked for a little over an hour. So I've learned a lot about you. But before we get into the 20 question game, so everybody, where they can find you at, Dale? All your social media, where they can find you.
Well, just look me up. I have my YouTube channel. Just look up Dale Cole, and it should take you right to it. And you can look me up on Facebook. We are a community service band, and it's COMM Service Band, all one word, and that'll take you right to our Facebook page. And I really don't know what just look me up on Spotify. It's the same way. I just set everything out on DistroKid, and they do all the stuff for me. I don't know that, you know. I guess I need to learn that stuff.
Yeah, it's that's one of the things in the new age now, is you got to learn how to do social media. Which,
well, I mean, I've got it out there. I just don't know the dresses for it.
I know for Spotify it was Dale Cole.
And I think if you just look up Dale Cole on most of them, I'm sure it's Apple and iTunes and Deezer and all those things. It's the same way.
Yeah, I think the community service page is hard to find.
Yeah, that's why I say if you go COMM Service Band, all one word, it'll take you right to it.
Okay. Yeah, and I'll try to. I know I tagged you. I couldn't tag, but I'm gonna do that next time for any time you do New Music Monday, or if you're
I really appreciate all you've done for us, man.
Oh, trust me, my pleasure, brother. I love doing that stuff, and people always ask you, well, I've had this question too, but so like, why do you only play, or why don't you only just play the country? Why don't you just help country? I was like, because there's so much music out there. Why should I limit myself and limit listeners to one style?
There's good music in every genre.
Yeah. You know? Like I said, with the only exception I have is because I do it when I do send it to the radio stations, like the Countdown. I can't put heavy metal because they don't want heavy metal. And I can't put rap because of all the cussing. And sure. I said, okay, I get that. That's fine. So when I did my station, I'm like, okay, I'll let that stuff go. I won't mind it because I don't care. I mean, I've listened to everything. But for the Countdown, yeah, there's kids and stuff listening. That's fine. I won't put it on.
You want to build a brand, and you got to make sure it's sellable.
Right. My brand has always been Shuffle.
That's my playlist is very eclectic. I get you.
I can show you right now. I'm going to share the screen again and see if I got it up here. Share screen. Oh, no, I hadn't pulled that up yet. Hang on. I got to get out of there. I got to open it back up. My iTunes library. There we go. Now, I'm going to share screen so you can see my iTunes. There we go.
Artist. You know, I just heard that ZZ Top version of Las Vegas.
Oh, really?
Yes, pretty bad, man. We used to do Nationwide, and one of my other bands. Oh, you're a big ZZ Top fan.
Yep, I love ZZ Top. And then you scroll down here, you see there's Tupac. There's Three Doors Down, 3 Days Grace.
I love that, man. I love the West Coast stuff. Yeah, I like that too. Three Doors Down.
Like, I grew up with the Eagles. Years. So if you go to...
10 years. Is that 10 years after?
Or? Yeah.
No.
10 years is the 10 years of Sea. What's the biggest song they have? Probably Wasteland.
Oh, okay. I didn't. So it's a new music. I back in the day, it was 10 years after for me and Alvin Lee and those guys, you know. So.
Oh, yeah. No, this is...
I'm old.
I do have older stuff in here because I like that stuff. This is more like a rock stuff. That stuff. And then like I love the Eagles and Gary Allen, all that stuff. Like, here's my Eagles. Tons of Eagles. Dwight Yoakam.
Yeah, I'd say. I love Dwight Yoakam. Yeah. He's one of my favorites.
So I listen to all kinds of music, and I that's how I've been.
You just had some Duran Duran on there, I saw, and it's funny. We have a group around here in my hometown, Winston-Salem. It's called the Vagabond Saints Society, mm-hmm. and they have a core group. It's like the drummer, bass player, guitarist, keyboard, and maybe another guitarist. And then they'll do a show, and they never repeat the same show. Once they do it, they might do it three times, like different venues. But once it's done, they'll never do that again. Wow. And we've done Lou Reed. We've done Electric Light Orchestra. We've done Queen. We've done the Rolling Stones and stuff like that. And but this summer, they're doing Duran Duran. And so it's going to be a pretty fun thing, I think.
Yeah, my daughter loves Queen. And she loves it because of the movie Wayne's World. That's how she got introduced to Queen.
Well, they'll bring in like I think they got 30 different singers coming in for the Duran Duran show. Oh, wow. Like, some people come up, you know, one person will sing a song. Sometimes they might sing two, but that's about it. And then, so it's really a community building thing.
Yeah, and I like stuff like that. I mean, and if you limit yourself on what you listen to, you're limited in your musical vocabulary.
Exactly. I do.
I mean, like even for the radio station, like I don't know what's playing on the radio station. I can pull up right now and tell you what it is, see who's playing. I do eclect stuff, and I've got like everybody that's on New Music Monday, automatically I upload them into the radio station for rotation.
Right.
And then with everything else, then I put like I'll throw hits in there too. So like, cause I'll add what 12 songs each week from New Music Monday.
Sure.
So that's okay. That's 12 songwriters. Let me get some hits in there too. So it kind of gives people again, you know, another choice that they'll listen to songs that they know and they'll hang around.
Right.
And that's why I tell everybody 10 minutes.
I quit listening to music 2 years ago. I don't listen to music. I don't listen to television, watch television. I pretty much just cut all that off, and I've started writing since I cut out all the external.
Yeah. I wish I could say that, but I listen to music all the time. Sometimes to the point, it's like, quit sending me your music. I'm okay.
I know, right?
Like, I've got the countdown, like I said, the list. I'm going to show you because I tell everybody this, but I don't think they really believe what I have. So let's go back into where to go.
Oh, that's right. You got to listen to all this stuff as it comes in before you can play it.
Mm-hmm. So that's, and I do for the most part, I'll listen to it, about 30 seconds to a minute. So that,
sure.
That way, if I can hear, if I like it, if it's going to play, I mean, if it's bad, then yeah, I won't play it. I just can't. But let's see, songs for top 10, 340 songs.
My goodness, man.
Right. And that's, what I tell people, I have a lot of songs, and I try to get everybody in, but I get people that send me multiple songs, and I only do one song at a time per artist.
And right.
I do that because I don't want to overload the countdown. Well,
it
So these people that they, when they complain about stuff, it's like, look, I said, this is the fairest way for me to do it. If you don't like it, you don't have to be
somewhere else.
Right. Yeah. That's it. I've had a good time.
I'm just happy if I get to play anywhere, anytime.
And like I said, I mean, with your stuff, you're actually buying merch and supporting the show more than just sending me your music. So,
right. Of course. Everybody asks me about my shirt when I wear it out, man.
Good. They can get it on storefrontier.com.
You didn't miss a beat there.
Hell no. My son laughs at my podcast voice. He says, Daddy, your voice is deeper when you're talking. I was like, I can hear myself.
Right.
I said, when I can't hear myself, I don't know what I sound like.
Right.
So I grew up with speech impediment. So I'm weird about talking in front of people. I always have been.
Right.
So for me to get over that, what I did is I play music and I do a podcast. So I have to talk to people.
You know, music things helped me. I was just awful with public speaking. I would just get deathly afraid. Mm-hmm. And I had to do a message at church back in January, you know, and I got up there, and first time I was spoken to people like that, you know, that big of a crowd in years. I just didn't know what to do. So I just dressed up in my stage clothes and took my acoustic hung around my neck, went up there and talked to them like I was talking to everybody else.
Well, see, growing up, I loved Mel Tillis because the man would stutter when he talked, but then when he sang, you never knew he could do that.
Yeah.
So I'm like, if that man can get up there and sing, then I can get uncomfortable and talk. So I always look to him as like a role model for that
That's
part.
A great
of it.
Thing.
Great guy.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, I've had fun.
It's been a great time. I appreciate you.
Not a problem. So we're not done. We got a 20 question kind of game. I want to ask you 20 questions, but I always like like I said, with these podcasts, I always kind of got a general, and I'll use quotations because it never goes like that. But I have a general lineup of questions.
Okay.
But for this part, it's always fun. So, what's the last book you've read?
That I've read?
That you read?
Probably To Kill a Mockingbird.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I went back a few years ago and started rereading all my required high school reading.
Okay. The only one I remember from high school was A Scarlet Letter. I know we read more, but Scarlet Letter was the only one I remember.
Yeah.
What's your favorite TV show?
Right now, it's probably it's called Upload. It's on pay-per-view or whatever, you know, but it's really a pretty cool show. Well written.
Is that the one where the guy they explode their heads and it uploads?
Yes,
them?
Yeah.
I love that show. I think it's on Hulu or Amazon. I can't remember which one.
Yeah, I think it's love that show. Paramount, maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know where it's at, but I love it. I sit and binge it. You know, I'm waiting for the next season now.
Yep. I love that show. I was watching it, and I just finished Space Force, and I realized, and they said that they canceled. I was like, no, why am I watching it? I ask every guest, we've talked for a while, but I'm going to ask you, what's your hidden talent?
A hidden talent?
Mm-hmm.
Golly. I'm a baby whisperer. I can soothe babies, man. I don't know. It's a gift. I can, even if the mother's got them and they're crying, they can hand them to me and I'll have them just 30 seconds to a minute. It's kind of crazy.
Do you cheat like I do and use a guitar?
Really like that. Sometimes it soothes the savage beast, right?
It sure does. If somebody was to play you in a story of your life, who would play you? They made a movie about Dale Coe, who would be playing
okay. Brian Dennehy.
Okay. Brian, okay. If there was a soundtrack of your life, what would that be?
That's great, because see, now I'm all over the place with that, but maybe Hotel California. Because New Kid in Town, it came out right when I got to El Paso. I was in the Army, and it was just like, that's exactly what I was felt like at that time. And a lot of the other songs, you know, just kind of fell in place right there in my life. So
That's a great. I love, like I said, you know, I'm an Eagles fan. I love the Eagles. Who's a favorite local artist?
Local?
Local.
We have a band here called the Camel City Yacht Club. Okay. And they're...
I love the name.
it's like easy listening from the 70s, like Toto and Firefall and these kind of guys. They call it, they call it Yacht Rock. Mm-hmm. And they're just, they're all my friends. And they're just, I mean, I see them every time I get a chance. They're so good. Really amazing.
Yep. And so anybody like that, send my way too. I'd love to talk to them. Or they can, if they don't want to talk and they want to send the music, that's fine too.
The lead singer, Clay Howard, he's got bunches and bunches of stuff. I mean, he's on the radio and stuff too. So I'll get him to get in contact with him. He's amazing.
Okay. If you won the lottery, what's the first thing you'd do?
I would pay off all my children's debts, set up a trust fund for my grandson. I would buy a lot of land and start an animal rescue.
Okay. So any certain animal or just animals in general?
Any, you know, I would hope it'd be big enough that I could do everything by cats and dogs, especially, but horses and even, you know, the, like some of these people buy these cats, big cats, and they can't, you know, they can't take care of them, don't take care of them. And they deserve, I mean, they can't put them back out in the wild. So they got to have, I'm a huge animal person, you know?
Yep. And you see the cat that came here, this is a different cat too.
Right. But those kind of cats as well. I mean, especially I would more probably take in the ones that didn't find a home and they're about ready to put them down. I'd want to save those animals first. You know what I mean?
I'm not a big cat person, but we had a cat that my favorite cat was a cat that we rescued. His name was Troy.
Right.
Big gray cat, kind of like the one you saw earlier, but he was a little bit fatter. And me not liking cats, he would not listen to it. So I'd wake up every morning and this fat cat would be laying on my throat.
Oh, yeah. And he loved you.
I couldn't breathe.
Maybe he's trying to tell you something.
Yeah, like, get up. And then it never failed. He would wake me up 5 minutes, no matter what time I set my alarm, 5 minutes before my alarm went off. Oh. He'd be headbutting me, waking me up.
Oh, that's funny.
Every time. Never. It never failed. It didn't matter what time I set my alarm. What are three items in your bucket list?
Oh, my. It's easy. I want to see the Aurora Borealis. Mm-hmm. I want to go to New Zealand, Australia, one of those. And I really want to go to Prague.
So that'd be your kind of your dream road trip just to go all those places.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Okay. I got one more question for you before I let you go. What's the best advice you ever got?
My daddy told me this day I got married the first time. He says, if you can't pay as you go, you're going too fast.
I like that. I like that.
I wrote a song, Things My Daddy Said, and that's one of the lines in it.
I like that. My daddy always just told me to be quiet.
He said, mine did that too, a bunch of times.
Get off there, Jesse. You're going to break it. Well, Dale, thank you for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate you having me.
Yep. And the way this works, like I said, is it's pre-recorded. So there's a couple in front of you, but I'll let you know before yours is released.
That's awesome.
And just share it with everybody and the radio station. Keep sharing. Thank you for helping me do all that stuff.
Man, it's a privilege. You've done so much for us. I'll put the word out every way I can.
I appreciate that very much. And tell everybody one more time before I let you go where they can find you.
Anywhere, just Google Dale Cole. You can have my own YouTube channel, Dale Cole. You can look up Community Service on Facebook. It's CommService band, and all in one word, and it'll take you right to us on Facebook. You just look up Dale Cole on Spotify, on iTunes, on Apple Music, Deezer, wherever. I'm on all streaming platforms. If you just look me up, you'll find me.
Okay. Well, again, thank you for coming on the show, Dale.
Man, thank you so much, Jesse.
Everybody, that was Dale Cole, and this was the Georgia Songbirds.